Aren't you glad he can move mountains today? Bless the Lord. Amen. Well, how many of you are directionally challenged out there? Always. Well, you know what? I hate this when I leave my notes on my desk. Well, it was just part of my notes. So it's probably going to be shorter now. But I just thought I wanted to give you a quick lesson this morning in what to do in an avalanche. Now, how many of you have ever been stuck or caught in an avalanche? Anybody here been caught in a real live avalanche? I didn't think so. Well, here's what I know. Avalanche, the percentage chance of you being caught in an avalanche is really low, so don't worry about it. But just in case you are, here's what you need to remember. You ready? Write it down. You need to keep this in your wallet. If caught in an avalanche, spit. That's it. If caught in an avalanche, spit. Because here's what happens. When you get caught in an avalanche and the thing tumbles and you're all like all going all over the place, if you don't have a radio beacon or one of those new things that like it's an inflatable thing, so you kind of ride the top of the avalanche down the hill, if you don't have any of that, just remember to spit. Because here's what I'm going to tell you. Even if you buried in snow, and by the way, this one guy, he was buried in snow, and he was digging frantically, you know, to get out. And what he didn't realize is he was upside down, and he dug himself 30 feet deeper. That brother was chilled out. But here it is. When you spit, gravity will always be right. It'll always be real. It'll always be true. Aren't you glad for God's natural laws? Just in case you're caught in an avalanche. Because if you spit and it falls away from you, by the way, you need to clear a little area in front of your mouth before you do this. But as you clear it, if you spit and it goes down, guess what? Flip over because you're facing the wrong direction. And if you're laying there and you spit and it falls this way, dig to the right. You get it? And if you spit in your own face, you're on it. Just dig straight up because you're going to get it. All right? So that's just in case you need to know that. If you're ever caught in an avalanche. You know, because sometimes we just get turned around, right? And as we've been going through some of the points of the Sermon on the Mount of Christ, what we have found is that sometimes when we look at the kingdom, what seems to be up is down, and what seems to be down is up. It seems to be opposite of what natural law might say. And so over these weeks, we've kind of been looking at that. And as we've made that discovery concerning the kingdom, this morning we're going to look at one more area and one more statement that Jesus makes that really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But you'll get it, but hopefully by the time we're done. So let's stand together. If you have your Bibles, you want to read with me in your own scripture, go to Matthew chapter 5 and go to verse 5. Matthew 5:5. And here we are. Simply put, God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who are humble. Humility comes into play here. They'll inherit the whole earth. Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing on these words that, Lord, we don't want them to be just simply our words. We want your Holy Spirit to speak. And so if you don't need these words, Lord, then just do away with them. But Lord, we want to hear you right now. So our ears are open, Lord. We're listening in thy name. Amen. Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. Well, what does it mean to have the humility? It means to have purity of heart, if you will. We certainly live in a time and in a culture that that this idea of humility and purity of our heart is just not the word of the day. In order for us to live in this manner, I think we need to understand what Jesus is trying to say here. And what he was meaning when he said this. I mean, our world is anything but humble. Amen? Our world is anything but humble. It's anything but pure in their heart, if you will. Jesus was not speaking of an outward purity or humility here, but he was talking about something on the inside, folks, not the outside. It's a work of the Holy Spirit is what we're talking about. To be humble, to be pure in our thoughts, to be pure in our walk with God, to be pure in my heart is a work of the Holy Spirit within me. It's something that he does from the inside out, like we just sang. It starts with being humble, or if I can use the word, it starts with being empty. We've been talking about the end of me. And folks, this morning what we're talking about is being emptied of who we are. Before you can be filled with God, before the Holy Spirit can come and do his work in our life, we have got to be emptied of ourselves. There will be an emptying of ourselves. And when it begins to happen, when we are empty, then we can be filled. If you have a glass that's filled with Pepsi, Diet Pepsi that is, and you decide to drink iced tea, in order to enjoy the iced tea, you got to get rid of the Diet Pepsi first. You don't want to mix it, if you will. Can I just tell you this morning something that I know for sure, that God desires to fill empty things. In fact, one of the greatest stories in the Bible, you remember when the widow didn't have any oil and she was running out and the prophet came and said, "Hey, make me some bread." She said, "Oh, I just have enough for us to die, eat and die." And he said, "No, just come on, make it for me first." And then her oil just kept coming and coming. In fact, he had her go out and collect all the empty vessels that she could find. And the oil just kept coming. And when did the oil shut off? When the empty vessels were no longer there. You see, God enjoys filling empty things. If we're to enjoy the fullness that God has, we must first empty ourselves. And he does it perfectly. When everything that the world has to offer us, when it's all gone, when it leaves us, if you will, when it leaves us unsatisfied. Have you ever tried to satisfy yourself with stuff from the world? That's how we get huge credit bills, right? When it's all said and done, what the world has to offer will be totally unsatisfying. It's never going to satisfy. It's never going to come about in the first place anyway. God is just waiting, always waiting, always ready to fill us up when we are willing to empty ourselves. Being filled then begins with what? Being empty. Being empty of those things in our life that don't match what's on the inside. And the outside doesn't match on the inside. How many of you remember a wheat martinizing cleaners? How many remember that one? There used to be one by Sunshine Donut, Craig. He knows where the donut shop is. I'm just referencing. Anyway, Martinite, can you tell me, what was Martinizing Cleaners known for? 1 hour. Who said that? Oh, man, you get an A today. Can I tell you, I just did a wedding last night. And as you know, I don't wear suits very often. And so I always try to keep track of when the last time I wore my suit was. And Myrna will always say, "Honey, have you had your suit cleaned lately?" And so all I remember is that, and I remember this because of the wedding last night. I remember I was doing a wedding years ago and Myrna said, "Honey, is your suit ready?" And I said, "Yeah, it's all ready." And so the day of the wedding comes, or maybe it was the night before, I decided to go into the closet to get my suit. I couldn't find it. Obviously, Myrna had taken it and worn it or something, but I couldn't find my suit. And so I wasn't going to ask her because I already told her it was ready, you know, for the next day. And I found it wadded up in the corner. Yeah, well, that's where I put my to be cleaned. Okay? Yeah. I have this special area. Area 51. And so I took it up and I shook it and I'm like, oh my goodness. No, it didn't stink. It was just all wrinkled. And I thought, oh, and then it hit me, Martinizing Cleaners. This is down in Fresno. So I thought, well, first thing tomorrow, the wedding's not till Saturday night. So first thing tomorrow, I'm going to go home and get a 1 hour job done on my suit. So I took it down there and I was just so happy I thought about this wonderful thing. And I handed it to the counter lady, and I said, okay, I want your 1 hour job. And she looked at me puzzled, like I'm supposed to answer her questions. I said, I need the 1 hour job, please, on my suit. I just want it pressed. You don't even have to clean it. Just press it. She said, well, we don't do that in 1 hour. On the window, 1 hour cleaning, cleaners. And I'm, are you a 1 hour cleaner? Oh, yes, we're Martinizing 1 hour cleaners. So I want the 1 hour job. Well, I'm sorry, we don't do 1 hour. If you're not going to do the 1 hour cleaning, then why do you call yourself the 1 hour Martinizing cleaners? I need this suit in 1 hour. She says, sir, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I was so frustrated, I could spit. But I wasn't in an avalanche. I picked up my suit and I took it home and I used the iron on it. Oh no, you can do that if you're very careful. But I thought to myself, here's this place that said they were this, but when I went, they weren't. What was on the outside of the store isn't what was on the inside. What they promised on the sign, it wasn't going to happen for me or anyone else for that matter. Their sign said 1 hour, but they weren't 1 hour. See, they were claiming to be something on the outside that was not true inside. Blessed are those who are humble. Jesus here is challenging us. And he says, blessed are you when what is inside of you matches the outside. In other words, can I just tell you, I think it's exhausting to try to live outwardly what you don't possess, inwardly. Could you imagine what it'd be like to have to be an actor 24/7? Can you imagine the exhaustion that would come into your life? Because everywhere you went, you were putting on a show. How many of you learned not to lie when you were a kid? You're supposed to not lie. Can I just tell you the most interesting thing about lying is if you tell one lie, you got to remember that lie because you got to tell a lie to back up that lie, and then you forget what lie you told. What's on the inside is the same as what's on the outside. You see, where there's a humble heart, where there's the purity of heart, where sin is no longer the master of our life, there is a blessing, our scripture tells us. This idea of humility. Have you ever tried to be humble? How many feel like you're pretty humble? You just failed. You know, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. You can't wait to look in the mirror because you get better looking each day. I just have to tell you that this idea of humility can only come through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a human perfection of who we are. But in humility and in purity, it is an undivided heart for God. Back in early Rome, they used to love to do sculptures. Okay? Any artists here do sculptures? We don't have an artist that does sculptures. Okay. But in the old Roman Empire, the sculptures were a real popular thing to do. And so the artists would do these sculptures. I mean, they made buku bucks on their sculptures, okay? Well, it's kind of like anything else. Somebody saw the potential of a little money-making action here. And so these people who were not exactly the best artists or sculptors decided they would get in on the action, so they began to do their sculptures, but their sculptures had flaws in them. And in fact, they had cracks and pieces didn't fit well together in the whole thing. And so they would use wax to fill in the cracks. They would use wax to help keep the thing together. And then they would sell it for the same price. Have you ever bought something thinking you're getting just a wonderful bargain and you end up with, oh my goodness. The other day I went on Amazon. Amazon, it's tough. That's a tough addiction, folks. You got to be careful. But I went on Amazon the other day, and there are five, if you will, what do they call those guys? Wright family. What do they call those things that are in our dojang around the top of the wall? What? Our banners, correct. What's on them? Integrity, indomitable spirit. What are those called? What? Character trait. Good enough. Well, because I'm Taekwondo kind of guy. Good job. Way to answer the questions. Because I'm one of those guys, I decided I'm going to get those five character traits. I'm going to get a keychain because I don't have a keychain. I just have a boring circle. And so I was going to get a keychain, and I saw it on Amazon, and it was like only $6. And so I sent away for it. It was had all the five characteristics and character traits of what we teach. And so I got it in the mail. I was so excited. I opened it up. And it was as big as my little fingernail. That's not the way it looked on Amazon. I don't even know if the five character traits are true on that, because I can't read it even with my magnifying glasses. But they would take these cracked pots, these sculptures, and people would think they're buying the good stuff, and they would get the messed up stuff, and so they would take it home. And so they would take their sculpture and they put it in the window of their home, you know, and they didn't have any windows or, you know, they had little shutters, but the sun would beat in, and what would happen? The ones that were made with wax, what would happen? The sun would get hot, or make it hot, the wax would begin to melt, and pretty soon, what happened to their sculpture? And so what happened was, is that the true artists began to put two words on their sculptures. And the two words were it's pronounced, sincera. Did you hear it? Sincera, sincera. It says, and it just simply means without wax, by the way. But what word do we get from that? What do you think? Sincere. You guys are sharp this morning. You see, the inferior artists that would use wax to fill the cracks and the pieces that wouldn't quite fit, they would use it and it would melt, and then they would have nothing but a piece of junk. And so the real artists began to write those two words on their stuff. And then what they would do is they would take their stuff and they'd put it out in the sun. Because why? They weren't afraid of what would happen when the heat hit their sculptures, because they had the real thing. You see, that's what Jesus is saying and calling us to. He's calling us to a life, if you will, a heart without wax, without that stuff that we do to try to hold ourselves together. So I say this morning, let's step out in the sun. Let's step out in the sun spiritually and let the heat come. Because it's going to tell us what's on the inside. In order to experience this purity of heart, this humility, we have to put, if you will, we have to put away all the hypocritical things that are part of our lives Everybody knows what a hypocrite is, right? Everybody knows they're an actor that would put on a mask, right? You remember that? An actor would put on a mask in the early plays. They were called hypocrites. They would play a role, if you will. So I would say this morning, let's just get real. You like those words? Let's just get real. Now, when I was young, not so much now, because I'm the boss, but when I was young, one of my jobs was to take out the trash. That was the most disgusting job in the house. Remember when I was young, I would have to go through all the bathrooms, all the bedrooms, take everybody's trash and dump it into the big one and then take it out. I hated taking out the trash. I do it occasionally now, every time I'm asked. I put the trash cans out most of the time, except when I don't. But I'm just here, let's take out some trash today. What do you say? For the next few moments, let's just take out some trash. All right? I look at my watch. I've got about 10 minutes to tell you how to take out your trash. And then I don't know what we're going to do with the rest of the time. Okay, so here's the first piece on this road to humility. Here's the first piece of trash I think we need to take out of our lives, and that is performance trap. That performance idea. How many remember this song? My son day school coat pins got so long for my coat that they hung all the way to the floor. Anybody know that one? Sing along with me? No? Okay. Well, it's a song about your Sunday school pins. How many remember those Sunday school pins? Every time you, a year of attendance, you got a pin, and it just, and the song's about a guy who got all the pins hung all the way to the floor, and he tripped over and broke his shin, and when he slipped on his Sunday school pin. No? Okay. Well, anyway. Church, listen. How many of you remember the star, the little charts on the wall? If you showed up, you got a star. If you brought your Bible, you got a star. If you remembered your memory verse, you got a star. If you brought a visitor, you got two stars. Sometimes I think we never move out of the performance trap in our walk with Christ. Matthew 6:1 says this. I want to read it to you. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. So the first piece of trash we need to take out, if you will, is this performance trap. Now put that verse back up there for me. Let's just leave it. I want it to soak in, if you will, for the next few moments. Watch out. Don't do your deeds publicly. Be careful. What he's saying is, be careful you're not doing the right thing for the wrong reason. That's what Jesus is telling us. Be careful you're not, you know, living out and exercising your faith to impress somebody else. If we do that, we have our blessing. Did you know that? If we do it for the praise of men, we have our, that is your blessing. Kind of life that God blesses is when you take yourself out of the spotlight. Take yourself off the stage. You cease the performance for everybody else. So here's the question that I have. Am I living for the performance and the applause of those around me? Or am I living for the audience of one? Jesus said, blessing will come to us through humility. If I just step out, if you will, out of the spotlight. We're really good at this. We kind of put our best stuff forward. Can I talk about Facebook just for a minute? I love Facebook, don't you? Especially when people miss church. And then they post, oh, the beach was great today. And I love just saying, hey, blessings, glad you had such a great day. No, I wouldn't do that. But in Facebook, it's just so interesting, this whole social media thing. We only put the best stuff up there, am I right? How many of you have woke up first thing in the morning and put your picture on Facebook? Before you brush your teeth, combed your hair, got out of your old sloppy PJs. No, we do ourselves and we put our best stuff out there for everybody to see. And folks, if we're not careful, without the power, without the presence of the Holy Spirit humbling us and living out through us, we will simply put the best stuff out there. It may not be the real us, but we're going to put it out there. Because we want people to see the very best in us. We kind of hide what reality is. Amen? I think in my Facebook page, I'm going to start putting my high school pictures on it. Just saying. In secular psychology, it's great when your son is a psych major because you learn these things. Secular psychology, let me just read you a statement. This is secular psychology. You ready? Here goes. People who tend to keep secrets, performance. People who tend to keep secrets have more physical and mental issues on the average than people who do not. Interesting. Secular psychology says exactly what Jesus is saying. Folks, listen, the first piece of trash that we've got to take out is that performance thing. And can I tell you, as a pastor, sometimes that's the one that's tough. Because, you see, I'm supposed to have it all together all the time. And can I just tell you, I don't? Is that okay? Are you going to lose? Are you going to change your vote if I tell you that? Sometimes I feel like I've got to come to church and I've got to put on this facade because it's really not what I'm feeling in my heart. Oh, folks, we've got to take that trash out. We've got to let the Holy Spirit just cure that, if you will, in our lives. So no more performance. Another thing I want to is just no more costumes. No more costumes. You know, we put so much emphasis on our looks. Amen? Thank you. All right, somebody look at the screen. Matthew 23:5 says this. Everything they do is for show. Now, Jesus was talking about the Pharisees. Everything they do is for show. On their arms they wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside, and they wear robes with extra long tassels. Okay, so back in the day, when you went to church, you had prayer boxes on your head and on your hand. And so what they would do, of course, you come to church and you'd look down, you'd go, nice prayer box. And then so next Sunday I came with a bigger prayer box. My prayer box is bigger than your prayer box. I have more scripture in my prayer box than you have in your prayer box. The problem is the scripture only went as far as my prayer box. That's what we're talking about. They had the long tassels, and he used to wear blue ribbon around them in their robes. And, you know, so one guy, he goes to church on one Sunday, and he's got a 3-inch ribbon on his robe. So the next Sunday, I'm going to have a 6-inch. Then the next Sunday, he has a 12-inch. The next Sunday, my whole robe is blue. Because we're trying to put on a costume. We're trying to tell people, this is who I am. When really inside, spiritually, we're dried up and we're parched. The beginning of humility is to say, Lord, I need you. What was our first beatitude we looked at in this series? We said, what? Blessed are the what? Poor in spirit. Those that realize I am nothing. I have nothing to offer you, God. No more costumes. You see, those guys, they would judge each other by how long their tassels were, their blue ribbon, or their prayer box. They wanted people to see how spiritual they were. But Jesus makes it plain that the focus is what's on the inside, and that's what's important to God. 1 Samuel, the scripture tells us this. Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Amen. In church, I don't know why I'm going to say this, but we better do the same thing. We better do the same thing. You see, the church better never become just a, I don't know, holy country club. It better always be a place where the broken of this world can come and find hope. Jesus looks on the outside. God looks on the outside of us, not on the inside. Or looks on the inside, not the outside of us. We're so used to looking at the outside. We're so used to judging people. The story was that this pastor, his first Sunday at the church, he didn't show up. Now, that's a good way to keep a job, isn't it? On his first Sunday, he dressed up in clothes as someone who had lived on the street and stunk. And he came in and he just made his way around the congregation that day. And you can imagine some of the reactions he got. And then when they introduced the new pastor and said, here he is to give his first sermon, that homeless man got up out of the crowd and came and walked forward. And the church, they said, was silent for a long time. God looks on the inside, folks. So, no more performances. No more costumes needed. No more going through the motions in our life. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6 says it this way. When you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. When we pray, sometimes we pretend to be more spiritual maybe than we are. And you know what? God just wants authentic prayer. You know, when people come to me and say, Pastor, I just don't know how to pray. God just wants authentic conversation with you, His child. That's all He wants. And you see, when we're authentic in our prayer, that's where intimacy with God really begins. You can't have one without the other. When we pretend, there is no intimacy. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you're praying or you're at a prayer thing and somebody's praying and they use these just incredible words and you're going, dude, I'm totally impressed. I got to remember those words next time I pray. No. No. It's just that intimacy with God that He desires from us. When you were in your courtship, and for those of you who don't know what courtship is, that's engagement, okay? When you were in your engagement, and I've shared with you before that then there wasn't anything I wouldn't do to put myself around Myrna. I would cut class. I just would maybe not go on time. But I always wanted to put myself, you know, I mean, I don't care how much homework I had. I was going to eat dinner. I was going to hang out. If she didn't have homework, neither did I. I just want to impress. In fact, and when we would run into each other, when I knew she was going to be around, I would take a shower. I would comb my hair, brush my teeth. I'd have mints in my pocket. I'd make sure that I was ready and presentable to meet her. Then we got married. Kick it. Oh, I still get dressed up every Sunday for her. But can I tell you something? And Myrna may say TMI today, but it's okay. What's she going to do, cut church? Do you know what I enjoy today more than anything? Well, going to Pismo is going to be pretty much fun. But what I enjoy more than anything, I go home, and you know what? No matter what I'm dressed in, you give me 2.5 minutes. And I've got my camo shorts on, an old T-shirt, no socks. And if I messed up my hair, oh well. But you know, we sit down and we get something to eat and we just sit on the couch together and we do something romantic like watch Hallmark movies or we just sit there and talk together. I mean, I like it when we get dressed up and go somewhere, but you know what? I love it when I come home and she's just in her grubs. You know, because that's, you know, if she loves me like that, now if I love her when she's like, hey, we know we're in love. And that's where real intimacy begins. You know, our best talks have been when we were looking the sloppiest. God desires intimacy. All right? God, he looks into our lives. And he wants that intimacy in our heart. And he doesn't want us just going through the motions like those Pharisees did. They just stood up and would pray on the corners and pray in the tabernacle so everybody could see them and everybody go, wow, that's amazing. But they were empty on the inside. In fact, you know that the greatest criticism Jesus had for the religious teachers of his day, he said, your cup on the outside is looking good, but inside it's filthy. Well, the final thing is no more pretending. And I think that just speaks for itself. But Matthew chapter 23, just a couple of verses. The teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey. This is Jesus telling his followers. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example. For they don't practice what they teach. They don't practice what they teach. They're just pretending. Folks, God doesn't need pretenders. He needs people who are completely sold out and humble before him. No one gets more or less of the Holy Spirit than anyone else when we get saved. When we ask Jesus into our heart, the Holy Spirit comes into our heart. Amen? Everything about him comes into our life. You see, but being filled with the Spirit is a matter of emptying myself as I started out this morning. You can't fill the cup that's already full. So, Lord, empty my cup of everything that I am so that it might be able to hold everything that you are. Galatians 2:20, he says it this way, Paul. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. The Spirit-filled life means allowing Christ, who lives in us, to live through us. So here's my encouragement as we close. Don't give up. No matter how you feel, no matter how long it's been, no matter how much clutter has come into your life, no matter how much trash has come into your life, no matter how far you've run from God, don't give up, can I tell you? Because God has not given up on you. He's not given up on you. But listen, you can only be filled with as much of him as you have emptied yourself of you. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we pray right now that you would be with us as we come to a time of reflection. Reflection, Lord, on your word. On what you have said to us this morning, Lord, in this beatitude. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are those whose heart is pure. Father, we come to you this morning. And all I have, Lord, all I have is just who I am. But Lord, would you look upon my heart and my life? Would you look upon the heart and lives of every single person that's here? Whether they've been in the church for 10 minutes or 10 years. Lord, maybe some of us need to take out a little bit of trash this morning. We need to cut the performance and quit pretending and get rid of the costume. And in humility, love you with everything that we are. So, Father, this morning, help us to pour out who we are and allow you to pour in who you are. With your heads bowed as we spend some time just listening to God's word in our heart and our mind. What is God saying to you this morning? What is he wanting from you this morning? What is he wanting from me this morning? Let's just do what God asks us to do. As the worship team sings through that song, I invite you to come and pray. This altar is open, as Pastor Sway said earlier. It's a great place to come. It's a great place to take out the trash. We invite you this morning. God bless you as you reflect.